I'm going to be recording this, so if you want a copy of this, feel free to ask. But we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. The title of this is He That Worketh In You. And we're going to be discovering the activity of the Holy Spirit in its fullness. So it's going to take a while to go through all this, and I've been enjoying the study that I'm doing. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we bless you, and we thank you, Lord, for your many blessings and blessings to come. We thank you for your word that teaches us and guides us. Your word feeds us. Your word changes us. Your word is a light unto our path, and we thank you, Lord. Your life, your word is life-giving, and Lord, we receive all that you have. Willingly, we receive. Speak into our lives, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to start reading here. The work of the Holy Spirit is so manifold that it's easy to overlook how active he is in our lives. Remember, the Holy Spirit, he doesn't take a break. You know, he's there 24/7. The Holy Spirit doesn't sleep. You know, he doesn't go on vacation. He's in you, and he's there to stay, and he's there for a specific purpose, which is what we're going to be looking at. In this teaching, we will examine the work that is being done in our lives as children of the Most High God. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to do a great work that is manifest in several different ways and for various aspects of our Christian walk. In Acts 1:8, we see that it is the Holy Spirit that empowers us. We read the scripture, Acts 1:8. A lot of you can already probably quote this, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And then talking about the Holy Spirit, Jesus was, before he ascended up, he was speaking in Acts 1:4. And this is the International Standard Version. While he was meeting with them, he ordered them. He ordered them. It wasn't just a simple suggestion. But he said, whoops, I got a couple that are coming in here. All right. But he said, while he was with them, he ordered them, don't leave Jerusalem. Instead, wait for what the Father has promised. The Bible says in King James, wait for the promise of the Father, about which you heard of me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days from now. So at this point in time, Jesus called the Holy Spirit the promise of the Father. And that's what we're going to, our first topic is, we're going to just start chronologically with the Holy Spirit being the promise of the Father. The promise of the Holy Spirit, if you're taking notes, John 7:37. And it says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now listen to this in verse 39. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And then I searched and searched, and there isn't an Old Testament scripture that talks about flowing out of our bellies, but this is the closest one that I could find in Isaiah 58, verse 11. And it says, Isaiah 58, verse 11, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. That was Isaiah 58:11. And if you want to do some additional study to see, there are some other Old Testament scriptures that do talk about being thirsty and water and Jesus' promise of the Holy Spirit. In John 14:15, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." Remember that. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. It's reserved for a special people. "Because it sees him not, the world, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells in you," or "he dwells with you and shall be in you." So Jesus is talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and what is to come. Jesus said, "I must go so that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, can come." John 16:7. Jesus is speaking, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Jesus said, it's expedient, it's important, it's necessary for me to go so the Holy Spirit can come. John 14:25 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." So we see that the Holy Spirit is promised. And there's other scriptures. There's some scriptures that say, that if we, the scripture that says, "Knock and it shall be given, seek and you'll find, ask and be," and it says that if your Father, being earthly people, will give you good gifts, how much more does our Heavenly Father want to give to us the Holy Spirit? So, but we can see that it's a promise of both Jesus, "I gotta go so he can come," and the Father. He says, "I'm gonna send him, and you can pray and you can receive the Holy Spirit." But I want to share something with you that it really excited me just on the onset of this study. I'm going to read it to you. In fact, I want to, I'm going to share the screen so you can read it along with me. Just give me a second here.
There we go.
Now, down at the bottom here, looky here. The last paragraph on page one. "As you can see, both our Father in heaven and Jesus Christ, our Savior, understood the value and importance of sending the Holy Spirit to us. Because," now listen closely and read closely, "because the Holy Spirit is the embodiment of God's essence, the character of Christ, and the supernatural manifestation of eternal life working in us. As a result, we can walk in supernatural authority, wisdom, and power by the Holy Spirit." That's why the Holy Spirit is so, so important, is because he's the embodiment of everything the kingdom represents, the authority, the power, all of this we're going to be getting into, but it's from the Holy Spirit, the essence of God. Anybody ever, while you were in worship and you just sensed just a special presence, you know, of the Lord and those special times, that's the Holy Spirit. He's sent to us. He has in him is the character of Christ, the essence of our Father God in heaven. And so to me, that's very, very exciting because there's so much for us to receive. Amen. So we're going to start this lesson here. And like I said, we're going to go in chronological order. And so remember John chapter 3. Nicodemus came to talk to Jesus. And what's the first thing that Jesus said? Anybody? Jesus said, you must be born again. So there is the first work of the Holy Spirit. So let's read. If you do have a Bible, we're going to read in John chapter 3, verse 1. Or actually, I can tell you what, I'll just share that scripture with you and you can read along with me. Born again by the Spirit. Each one of us had our beginning in this kingdom life through the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. We were all born of the Spirit as Jesus described in John's Gospel, chapter 3. Here we go, beginning at verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher and come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you. Does anybody know what that word verily means? If you look at some translation, it means truly, truly. I mean, this is serious, emphatic. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And Jesus went on to say, Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Look at this scripture in Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So there we see the activity of the Holy Ghost. He's the one that regenerates us. He's the one that renews us, brings about that new birth. And verse 6, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So I might as well keep you on this page. So we need to observe some words, some verse 5, regeneration and renewing. This will define what has taken place in our lives as we accepted Jesus Christ. So let's look at the word regeneration. And the reason why I share these things is because I want you all to have the information and the understanding so that you can help others. There's a lot of people that have various ideas of what it is to be born again and so many different doctrines and teachings out there. So we look at some the Greek getting the what we call getting the skinny on it, getting the actual definitions. So here's the word regeneration from the Greek lexicon of the New Testament. I'm not even going to try and say that word, but new birth, reproduction, renewal. This isn't, it isn't recreation, it's recreation. Regeneration, 1A, hence renovation, regeneration, the production of a new life consecrated to God. A radical change of the mind for the better. Remember how we talked about repentance is a change the way you think, changing of the mind, and when the mind changes, then the actions will change. The word often used to denote the restoration of a thing to its pristine state, its renovation as a renewal or restoration of life after death. Now remember, when you were born, you know, there's some people who say you're born into sin. Well, you know, I believe that we're born with the propensity to sin, but you can't see, you know, a one-year-old baby and going, boy, what a sinner. You just don't see that. But you see a one-year-old baby and you see purity. You see innocence. You see just a perfection. Now, there are circumstances where behavior is learned, you know. Wrong behavior, those kind of things are learned. And you know, if you're in a family where people are cussing all the time, and, well, guess what's going to happen to the children? They'll probably be cussing. You know, there's learned behavior. So that's why it's talking about restoration of a thing to its pristine state, its state of innocence, its state of freshness, like as a baby, as a renewal or restoration of life after death, the renovation of the earth after the deluge, the renewal of the world to take place after its destruction by fire, as the Stoics taught. The signal and glorious change of all things in heaven and earth for the better, the restoration of the primal and perfect condition of things which existed before the fall of our first parents. So the Bible says in Revelation, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and that was pristine. Existed before the fall of our first parents, which the Jews looked for in connection with the advent of the Messiah, and which Christians expected in connection with the visible return of Jesus from heaven. Other uses, Cicero's restoration to rank and fortune on his recall from exile, the restoration of the Jewish nation after exile, of the recovery of knowledge by reconciliation. So the Bible talks about when a person falls, he's to be restored. And but that word restore doesn't mean to be brought back into fellowship. When you really study that out, that word restore means you bring him back to a place further where he was, in more prominence. You bless the person. You know, we're too used to punishing or seeing people punished and getting the mind that if you do something wrong, you got to punish and suffer the consequences. And, well, you know, in all truthfulness, the kingdom doesn't operate that way. And we've studied that about when we're looking at the what to do when you're persecuted, and you bless those and you pray for those that despitefully use you. So that was regeneration. Now here's renewing. It's taken from the Greek lexicon of the New Testament. That word renewing, a renewal, renovation, complete change for the better. Here's the definition from the Strong's Concordance, 3G342. Basically the same thing, renovation, renewing. The idea of regeneration is also explained in the following passage of Scripture, as we read in 2 Corinthians 5:14 and through 17. For the love of Christ is holding us together with him, having judged this thing, that if one died on behalf of all, consequently all died. And he died on behalf of all in order that the ones who are living should no longer live to themselves, but to the one who died and was raised on their behalf. So then, from hereafter, we know no one according to the flesh, but even as we have known Christ according to the flesh, now we know him such no more. And basically that's saying that we don't know him after the natural. He was here on earth, yes. You know, and many people during the time of Paul met him, and you know, the disciples knew him, but they don't know him after the natural man or the flesh anymore, because he's ascended now. So we don't know him that way anymore. So if anyone is in Christ, verse 17, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Several scriptures more that talk about that. So the first chronological thing that happens to us is born again. You're born by the Spirit. The Spirit regenerates you. The Spirit brings you into fellowship. The Spirit, and so many things we're going to be looking at, you know, adoption, and we're justified by the Spirit. We're filled with the Spirit. So basically, if anybody is born again, they've received Jesus Christ, then you have the Spirit in you, okay? Because you can't be born again without the Holy Spirit. So when people say, I'm filled with the Spirit, well, you know, there's two schools of thought on that. But being filled with the Spirit is different than being baptized with the Spirit. I have here a cup. You can see this cup here? Now, this has apple juice in it. Or apple cider, yummy. If this cup had water in it and I just set it on a shelf, after days and weeks, what will happen to that water? Anybody?
It'll go away.
It'll evaporate. Yeah, it'll evaporate. It'll there's not going to be that much in the cup anymore. So that cup would need to be refilled, right? So that's what the word fill means. To be filled, all right? Now, imagine, and you've heard me share this before, some of you, imagine there is a million gallon aquarium in front of you. And the water in there represents the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, we take this cup and we let it just fall into that aquarium, that million gallon aquarium. Now that cup becomes immersed. And if the water represents the Holy Spirit, then that cup is immersed in the Holy Spirit. Or another word for immersion is baptized. It's in that realm. And if it's immersed in the realm of the Holy Spirit, then that means that everything that the Holy Spirit has, it's always available. It's always there. You're always in that realm. So there's a difference in being filled to being baptized and to being immersed in the Spirit. And we call that also the fullness. Have you received the fullness of the Spirit? And we'll get into that a little later. So we need to observe the words from verse 5 and renewing, regeneration of Titus, because this will define what has taken place in our lives. So we've been renewed. We've been regenerated. We've been made a new creature. In fact, if you study the word in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. That means the creation, the word creation means species. And so you're a new species. You are something that hasn't existed before because you're a new creation. And it goes on to say, old things are passed away. The old man, he in God's eyes, he's non-existent anymore. And all things have become new. So that's God's perspective of the new birth. You're a new person, a new attitude, new thoughts, new motives, a new heart because of the Holy Spirit. And for that, we give glory to God because we have been born again. And you all are part, we all share in that as a family, as a community, and that new birth. So there was lesson one. I'll give you these scriptures, but if you want to jot down these scriptures, Galatians 6:14, Romans 6:4 talks about being buried with him by baptism and raised up with him. Romans 6:4, Galatians 6:14, Ephesians 4:22 talks about putting off the old man. Colossians 3:9 and 1 Peter 1:3. As we can see, without the Holy Spirit, there would not be a new birth. So many things follow the new birth, and it makes his activity paramount. As a new born-again believer, the following has been obtained because of the Holy Spirit. And with this, I'm going to put this on there, and we're going to go ahead and close. And you can see here as I scroll down here. As a born-again believer, the following has been obtained. I mean, we could make an unending list, but sons of God, adopted as God's children, seated with Christ, authority of Christ, we're justified, we're righteous, we're allowed to house God's Spirit within us, we can obtain eternal life, we can inherit heaven, our home. All this has come about because of the Holy Spirit. For this we owe thanks to our Father in heaven who has given to us the promise of the Spirit. Amen. We're gonna drop out here in a second, so let's pray. Father, we bless you and we thank you for your goodness and your love and what you've done for us, Lord. You've done for us what none other could ever do in a lifetime. And for that, we're grateful. We give you honor and praise. And we love you, Lord. Continue, Lord, to work in our lives to bring about that newness on a daily basis, we ask in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. So, that's it for today. And we'll be studying next week. We'll be studying on being sealed by the Holy Spirit. We see that in a few places. And so what does that mean? Being sealed with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us to grieve not the Holy Spirit by where you are sealed. So what does that mean? So we'll be extrapolating that and learning about that. And remember Sundays, we're at 4:00 at Gethsemane. Praise God. And starting next week, and I'll send out another note, on our Wednesday meetings at Gethsemane, we'll be meeting at 7:30. We're going to go a little bit later. And so just put that in mind. We'll be meeting at 7:30. And that'll be our default time that we're going to meet. 7:30 at Gethsemane. And so you're all invited. Sunday, we had a wonderful service. We just inaugurated our Sunday evening service at Gethsemane with prayer. We just spent a lot of time. Many of us were on our faces before God. We were kneeling and just praying and seeking God. And wow, his presence was just strong. It was really a blessing. So Guys, I love you. Karen and I, we both love you very much. We pray for you all the time. Every day, we're praying for you guys. And we love you. We appreciate you. And we're looking forward to seeing what all God is going to do in our midst. He's going to do some good, good stuff. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So with that, I'm going to leave you. And we'll see if you can, Ken, on Sunday at 4 at Gethsemane. So God bless you. Honey, you want to come and say bye?
That's adorable.
She has the easy chair.
Yeah, I'm sitting in the comfy chair.
There you go.
Bye.
Okay. We love you guys.
Bye.
Okay.
Have a good
God
rest
bless
of your
you.
Week.
Jacob, it was really good seeing you again.
You too.
Alrighty. I'll be in touch. Alright. We love you immensely. Everybody, be healthy, be strong in Jesus' name.
Amen.